Chad and Lisa in your prayers. I know Melanie had mentioned this. Chad and Lisa are our children and youth directors here at Bear Creek. And Chad's dad, he went in for one of those stress tests the other day. And they said, you know what? You've got a lot of blockage, and you're going to have triple bypass surgery. Well, they set the bypass surgery to be sometime next week, but then he went in yesterday by ambulance because he had his arm went numb, and that's not a good sign. And they decided last night that they were going to do the surgery first thing this morning, 7:15 a.m. So Chad and Lisa rushed out there to Rusk to be by his side, and please keep praying for them. Well, I'm so glad to be here today. I hope that you are too. And we're continuing our message series. This is called Joseph from Dream to Destiny. And listen, I believe God can use the story and the life of Joseph to change your life, to really speak into your life, if you'll let it. And as we look and as we study, like I said, I mentioned this last week, this is not just a good narrative or a good story, but this is deep theology. It's getting to know and understand who God is by what he is doing in the life of Joseph. And so I pray that you'll be just observing and just seeing how this story can connect with your life. Last week, we'll get to that in a minute, but Joseph, he was put to the test. And we see all these tests through his life because God has a plan for him. And Joseph had this incredible destiny, this dream that God put on his heart. And he had a destiny that would save people, that would save a nation, and that would literally save his people from starvation. But he didn't know that. He just kind of had this dream that God had given him, and he wasn't real clear about all the details. But God was putting him on the path to his dream. And along the way, we see just some difficulty, some suffering, and some difficulty. And you know, and I know a lot of people here have, just being here now for a little over 3 years, I know a lot of people here at Bear Creek have gone through trials and gone through suffering. But it's really, what is God doing in the middle of it? And what is he doing as you're walking through it? What is he doing in your life? And he tests our faith, doesn't he? And he tests our faithfulness. And we want to pass the test, don't we? We want to pass this test when he's giving us this test, and we want to pass this test. And sometimes we wonder, you know, why am I going through this? Am I being punished for my bad choices? Is that why this is happening to me? Or am I going through this because God is testing me and teaching me? And so we just wonder, don't we, sometimes, am I being punished? Is God trying to teach me something? And listen, just to set the stage here today, this is the best of advice that I can give you, is to assume that God is working through it, and to know that he is, then to know that God is going to use this situation, this ordeal, to shape you and refine you into the person he is planning for you to become. And I want to be sure to share with you every week at the end of this story, it all works out. And a lot of you know the end of the story of Joseph and how this thing plays out. At the end, he faces this evil, and he says, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. And even though I walk through this evil, what you intended, how you intended to hurt me, God intended it for good. And look, whatever situation you might be faced with right now, whatever stage in life or place in life that you find yourself in right now, just know that God is speaking to you, and he is pressing things on your heart, and this is a teaching moment. Don't miss it. Don't miss what he's trying to do. Will you pass the test? So what is it? You know, there's one thing that consistently stops people from reaching their destiny or reaching the things that God has planned for them, and one of those things is this issue, this one thing, character. And so what we see God doing in Joseph's life is he's shaping his character through these situations and through these instances. So last week we talked about the pride test. And you know, the issue wasn't that pride was consuming Joseph. That really wasn't the issue. Now we might have saw a few things that might indicate a little bit of pride, but the issue was is he going to pass this pride test? Because listen, we know that his father said the scripture says that his father loved him the most. He received this special coat. We call it the coat of many colors, right? And we also know that his father set him out and he was tasked with the responsibility of sort of overseeing his older brothers. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was given that kind of special treatment, I'd be tempted to have a little bit of pride. And so the question is, did Joseph pass that pride test? And I believe he did, and we'll continue to see how he's passed that test. But today, Joseph, here's what we're looking at today. We're in chapter 37 of Genesis, Genesis chapter 37. And we're starting in verse 18, chapter 37, verse 18. And we're at this point in the story where Joseph's father is sending him off once again to check on his brothers. His brothers had gone to a far distant land. They went to Shechem, and then evidently they moved on to a place called Dothan, which is about 100 miles from where they originally started in Hebron. And so they're over 100 miles from home, and Joseph is sent to see them, to visit them, and to check on them and report back to his father. And so we see this. Let's pick it up in verse 18, okay? Verse 18 of chapter 37, it says this. They saw him, this is Joseph's brothers looking out, they saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They were so angry. And we saw that earlier on in this chapter. They were filled with such hatred towards Joseph. And so now here they are, and we talked about this past Wednesday as we were going through this passage in the Bible study. So they see him from afar, and they probably saw this crazy-looking coat with the multicolors and the polka dots and stuff from a distance and said, oh man, here he comes. And so here they are. They see him approaching and they said to one another, here comes this dreamer. You can see how that dream that Joseph had shared with them had really dug into them and how angry it made them. And in verse 20, it says, come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of this dreamer. But when Reuben, now keep in mind, Reuben's the oldest brother, when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands and said, let us not take his life. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of the hand of and restore him to his father. Verse 23, so when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and he took him and threw him into the pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and they looked, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and let not our hands be upon him. For he is our brother, our own flesh, and his brothers listened to him. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, he tore his clothes. He was remorsing. Verse 30, and returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is gone, and where shall I go?" Then they took Joseph's robe and slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe in the blood, and they sent the robe of many colors and brought it back to their father and said, "This we have found. Please identify if this is your son's robe or not." And he identified it and said, "It is my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces." Then Jacob, his father, tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "No, I shall go down to Sheol to my son's mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. And so we end that chapter, and we see this story sort of play out. They see Joseph. They conspire against him to kill him. And, we see, just like in our own lives, we see that Joseph had peaks and he had pits. And so one day Joseph's living in royalty. He has this special coat. He has special favor with his father, has special favor in his household. He was given special tasks by his father. So one day he's living in the peak of his life, and the next day now he's been thrown into a pit and sold as a slave by his brothers. And that's how life is, isn't it? I mean, can we come to agree on the fact that we all have these pits and valleys? We've all have these peaks and these pits that we have to face. And the problem is, too many people they park themselves in the pit, right? They find themselves discouraged and disappointed and defeated. And they find themselves quitting when they're in the pit. And the only solution they can imagine is just to quit. To quit spiritually, to quit mentally, to quit emotionally. And we don't know really what was going on in the pit, and we don't know how long he stayed there, Joseph, before they pulled him out and they sold him off. But you can only imagine what he was doing in this pit. And it kind of reminded me of the story of Jonah and the whale, and here he was in the belly of the whale, right? And he begins to cry out to God. And it's like he finds himself all alone. And now he's calling out to God, and I can imagine Joseph doing that. But here's a question for you: will the next pit break you? Will the next pit break you? Will it cause you to quit? Will it cause you to give up? Will it steal your faith in God? Will it steal your trust in God? Or will you make it through? And will he continue to carry you on to that place, to that destiny that he has for you? Well, that was a question we have when we look at this life of Joseph. Because, your life and your destiny ultimately depends on how you respond to it. And it ultimately depends on how and if you are trusting in the Lord in the midst of that. I saw this story last week of this young couple, boyfriend, girlfriend. They were walking down the street, and I believe it was in Chicago. I can't remember exactly what city it was, but they were walking down the street, and they passed these two guys that sort of looked at them. They were sitting on some steps on a porch, and the girlfriend said that she just kind of got this pit in her stomach that something was going to happen. She walked past them. They begin to follow them, and one of the guys asked her boyfriend, you know, why are you looking at me? And this whole situation over the next few minutes as they followed him down the street transpired into them beating up her boyfriend so bad it killed him. And just for no reason whatsoever. And she said that as they were walking behind them, taunting her boyfriend, she had never felt so isolated and removed from safety as she had in her entire life and as she did in that moment. And I wonder if Joseph felt that way, where he is, here he is, 100 miles from home. He's got his brothers, these brothers that were just filled with hatred, and now they just want to kill him. And now here he finds himself in this pit, and what will he do this far away from home? And he was doing the right thing, but it was all falling apart, and Joseph had to pass this test. In Psalm 34:19, it says this, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And listen, Joseph was a righteous man. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Isaiah 40:31, you might be familiar with this passage. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And maybe you are in one of those pits right now, those places right now in your own life. And maybe this is a time that God is trying to refine you. And let me ask you, are you allowing him to refine you? Or is your focus so much on the misery and the problem that you can't lift your eyes off the misery to give attention to the Lord? Because listen, in the end, I want you to turn with me. Look at chapter 39. In this story, it jumps from chapter 38 into chapter 39. And it says this, so we know that he was traded as a slave to the Ishmaelites and taken into Egypt. This is what it says. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard in Egypt, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down from there. The Lord was with Joseph. Look at that verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of the Egyptian master. Did you catch that part? The Lord was with Joseph. He had been with Joseph. He was always there. He was there in the pit. He was there with all the hatred from his brother. He was there 100 miles from home. He was there in the good time. He was there sharing the dream. And he was there when he was alone in the pit. He was there when he was being taken by the Ishmaelite slave traders into Egypt, and he was there in this house as a slave. God was there. The Lord was with Joseph. And then did you see what it says? Because you probably will wonder, how in the world could he be successful as a slave? But it says, and you're gonna find this out next week, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of the Egyptian master. Look, God, he can turn the story around. He can turn the situation around. And too many people make permanent decisions in the midst of a temporary situation, don't they? Don't we all at times make that mistake that we find ourselves in a difficulty temporarily, but we have such a hard time seeing beyond it because our focus is really not the Lord and not trusting in him, but our focus is more on the misery and the situation. So Joseph trusted the Lord, and others focus on what they're going through, but Joseph trusted God, and he focused on the Lord. And I imagine he was doing some real soul searching here. And listen, God doesn't look for you or want you to defend him. He doesn't need for you to defend him. He's almighty. He's all powerful. He doesn't need for you to defend him. And God doesn't need, he doesn't ask you to understand him, right? He doesn't ask you to understand him. He is beyond our understanding. What he asks you to do is to trust him. He asks you to trust him. Do you trust him? And wherever you are right now, and maybe you're at a peak point in your life, are you trusting him there? But maybe you're at a pit point in your life, are you trusting him there? Because look, this is a test. This is a test. And if we will always see this as a test, we'll begin to turn to him and trust him. And I want to show you some things up here on the screen. We're going to start off with one of the slides here. But look, go ahead and put this first slide on the screen. So this is the pit test. Evil intends to bury you. Look what it says in verse chapter 37, verse 20. Chapter 37, verse 20. Look what it says here. It says, "Come now, let us kill him," talking about Joseph, "and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dream." So he's saying, number one, let's kill him. Let's bury this guy. Let's get rid of him. Look, evil, because we know that they intended evil against him. Evil intends to bury you. Evil intends to bury you. Their intent was to kill and get rid of and to stop Joseph. Evil also intends to bury your dream. Isn't it interesting that the dream is mentioned here in the last part of verse 20? "And we will see what will become of his dream." They were so concerned about this dream. Evil will bury you. It will seek and intend to bury you, and it will seek and intend to bury your dream. And then look at what else it will seek to bury. It will bury all those reminders that God is with you. And one of those reminders for Joseph was this coat. And so they gave attention to this coat. It says in verse 23 that, "So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his coat." They were so angry at what that coat represented. See, to Joseph, that coat represented a promise of God. To Joseph, that coat probably represented just this special place that God had him in the favor that he had with the Lord. To his brothers, and we know, again, that his brothers intended evil against him, to his brothers, it represented everything that was against them. But next, so we see this. So that's what evil intends. But listen, let's look at what God intends. God intends to not bury you, but carry you. And God intends to not bury your dream, but to carry your dream to the end, to the place of your destiny. And God intends to carry all those reminders that he is with you. All right? That God intends for even in the midst of the pit, even in your darkest days, to carry you through it and to carry your dream and to carry all that he intends and all those reminders that he has for who he is. Look at Genesis 39, 1 and 2. "And God was with Joseph, and he became a successful man." What about you? Will you pass the pride test? And I don't know if you caught my Tuesday replay this week, but sometimes we think the pride test is, if we will just be humble, if we will force ourselves to be humble and humble ourselves, that will rid us of pride. But really what rids us of pride is an exalted view of God. When we elevate God above all things, we experience humility when we exalt God, when we see our position in all this. And so to pass the pride test, we must have that exalted view of God. Do you have an exalted view of God? But to pass this pit test, we have to be able to see that God is up to something. And we have to be able to be sensitive that God is working in and through all of this to carry us, to carry our dream, and to remind us of who he is. So we have to be able to be sensitive to that and sensitive to who he is. I love this. 1 Corinthians 4:17, Paul says this: "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." These things that we face here on earth, they are but light momentary afflictions. And look, what Paul was talking about and the afflictions that he went through, y'all, he went through so many difficulties. He was shipwrecked, thrown into prison. He was beaten. All these things that Paul went through, and he's the one that says these light momentary afflictions, look, in the grand scheme of things, these are light momentary afflictions. But listen, if you keep quitting, and if you keep saying, it's just too hard, and if you keep giving up and giving in, the pit will keep winning, and it'll keep stopping you. I remember this story of this woman that a friend of mine who's a pastor of a church, and she got her feelings hurt in the church, and she just wanted to leave. But she wanted to go out in a blaze of glory, and so she posted all this stuff on Facebook, you know, this is, the church does nothing but hurt people and all these kinds of things. And they reached out to her and kept on trying to just kind of walk with her and love her through this, and they were just appealing to her, please, let's restore this relationship. Let's work this out, please, please, please. And she just refused to return phone calls and things because she was in a pit. And she let that momentary, that temporary hurt cause her to make a permanent decision. You see how that can affect your life? And praise God that Joseph didn't do that. And he went on and it was God at work in him that produced the success that we're going to read about next week. All right? So God was producing it, but Joseph was open to it. And he wasn't letting his situation and his circumstances with his brothers tear him apart and cause him to quit. He wasn't allowing his slavery. He was involved in human trafficking, and he was trafficked into Egypt. And he didn't allow that to rob him of what God was doing. And I hope that you won't either. Let's pray. Lord, we know that the enemy, the evil one, is always seeking to rob us. But I pray, Father, that we will pass the test, that we will look at this life of Joseph. We will come to understand how important it is that we remain faithful, that we trust you. Through the good times and the bad, through the peaks and through the pits, Lord, we trust you, that we will seek after you even when things are difficult. And Lord, I know in a room with the amount of people that are in this room, Lord, that there probably is someone right now going through a rough time. And things are very cloudy and hard to understand, and it's hard to make their way through and see light at the end of the tunnel. But Lord, we know that when we trust you, that you will be the one that turns it for good. And so I pray right now, whoever that person might be, Father, that you'll show them today through this story that there is hope when we trust in Christ. There is hope when we trust in Christ Jesus. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. You know, as we close, let me share this with you. You'll see, if you're a guest with us, whoever you are, actually, we have some slips on the front of our seats here at Bear Creek. And if you feel like God is just moving your heart to make a decision to trust him because you've been trusting yourself too long, I pray that you'll let us know and give us an indication on that little slip of paper. It says my next steps is what that paper says. And if you'll just check that off, and you can drop it in our tithe box in the back as you exit the door. You know, I get this question a lot. Actually, I get this question from new people a lot. They're like, how do you tithe in this church? And we pass the plate once a month, but we have a box in the back of the church, and as people exit, they put their tithes in there. But we want to make it where the church family, those who are part of this church family, support this fellowship. And so we leave that box back in the back, and we just encourage everyone to take that view that God owns everything, amen? Then if God owns everything, then for us to just give a small portion back to him is just part of our stewardship of the gifts and the talents and the things that he has given to us. And so let me close out. Actually, I'm going to have my wife close us in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Good. Amen. Y'all have a great day. God bless you.